It's mid-October, and by now you've probably picked up on the fact it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women all over the country are being flooded with information about breast cancer and breast health. Yet, it's estimated one-third of women never obtain a mammogram. Women may be asking, at what age am I supposed to start having mammograms, and how often? There are a number of medical societies and women's organizations weighing in on this question, and they don't all agree. Reporter Sarah Vaughn revisits the conflicting mammography guidelines and learns they jeopardize the ability of some women to get treatment.
For years, women without a family history of breast cancer were advised to get an annual screening mammogram beginning at age 40. Many medical societies still maintain those guidelines. For example, the American College of Radiology and the Society of Breast Imaging, along with the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, each recommends annual screenings starting at age 40. But around this time last year, the American Cancer Society revised its guidelines and now recommends beginning screening mammograms at age 45, citing concerns about false positives and overdiagnosis. The ACS also advises women age 55 and older to switch from annual screenings to every 2 years. The U.S. Preventative Service Task Force, on whose data the American Cancer Society based its guidelines, recommends screenings every 2 years starting at age 50. Dr. Bruce Monson is a radiologist with Southern Indiana Radiological Services here in Bloomington.
We find cancers in patients from basically 30 to 100, and I don't think there's a rational cutoff between age 40, 45, 50 that makes any sense. Studies have shown that, you know, starting at age 40 saves lives.
Dr. Monson says there's roughly 30% fewer deaths over all age groups thanks to mammography screening. He points out the task force review panel did not include a radiologist. The U.S. Preventative Task Force argues the psychological strain of additional imaging tests and biopsies that result from false positives is harmful to women's health. The task force also cites overdiagnosis as a harmful result of regular mammograms. Dr. Jeffrey Allerton, an oncologist with IU Health, says physicians are concerned about overdiagnosis.
So what that means is that you may be finding a cancer in a woman that is so early and so low grade that it never would have impacted the patient to begin with throughout their life. The problem is that we don't know yet which of these cancers detected mammographically, if they're going to be the ones that would have been relatively indolent for years to come, and which ones would have been more aggressive. Personally, when I have interviewed women, they would rather have had a finding of an early cancer going through all of these other tests and the stress with it, as opposed to waiting later and finding it when it's more advanced.
The task force says false positives are highest among women age 40 to 49 and advises women in that age group to consult with their doctor about whether to get a mammogram. But Janine Guglielmino, senior director at Living Beyond Breast Cancer, says women age 40 to 49 are still dying of breast cancer.
Just last year, the American Cancer Society estimated that there were about 36,000 cases in the United States of women with invasive breast cancer, which is life-threatening cancer that requires treatment. And there were also women in this age group that died of breast cancer, about 3,700 women. So this does happen to women between the ages of 40 and 49, and the earlier that a breast cancer is found, the more likely that the treatments will be less invasive, less life-altering, less expensive.
Linda Goler-Blunt, an epidemiologist and president of the Women's Black Health Imperative, agrees.
For black women, 18% of breast cancer is diagnosed under the age of 50.
Black women are also 42% more likely to die from the disease, Blunt says.
The studies on which the recommendations are based were conducted in Sweden and Canada. Some of them as many as 25 years ago, where technology was certainly different. But the important thing is there were no black women included in these studies. What we really need is another randomized control trial that includes black women. But of course, that would take 30 years to do.
Dr. Allerton cites yet another organization as his go-to for guidance, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, which provides an algorithm for calculating a patient's breast cancer risk. Allerton has seen firsthand in two of his patients the damage that can result from delaying mammography.
Both of these patients found lumps on exam serendipitously early this year by getting dressed. They just happened as they were putting on their clothes, happened to brush against their breast, and both of them found a mass. They were both in their early 40s. Neither of them had insurance. Both of these now have cancers that are larger with axillary lymph nodes, and they're going to need chemo up front, followed by a mastectomy, rather than the other way around. When you find a tumor that's smaller, it's usually surgery first, then followed by chemotherapy.
Monson, Guglielmino, and Blunt say the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force guidelines give insurance companies a way out of paying for screening mammograms for women under 50.
You know, this is the agency that insurance companies will base their payments on. So at some point, insurance companies and even Medicare may say, all right, we're not going to pay for screening mammography for patients under 50, and we're only going to pay every 2 years for patients over 50.
USPSTF, they grade the strength of their recommendations. So they said that for women between the ages of 50 and 74, the recommendation was strong. They gave it a B grade. Recommendations that have an A grade or a B grade are required to be covered by the Affordable Care Act and not charge a copay to individuals for it. However, the recommendation for annual mammograms in women between the ages of 40 and 49 was a C grade. So that would allow private insurers to say that they don't need to cover that annual mammogram. It's important to have the option of having a covered mammogram, because if they don't have the insurance coverage, it's very likely that it will become a barrier to people being able to access the test.
Given this one thing that we know, that so much breast cancer occurs under 50 and is diagnosed under 50, let's not make these guidelines official, because if black women and Latinas and low-income women, for that matter, can't get their screening mammography covered, then they just simply won't get it done. We're going to see a lot of late diagnoses of breast cancer. And the net result is another 1,600 to 1,800 black women die each year from breast cancer.
When the task force's guidelines first came out, women's health advocates lobbied Congress and got a 2-year moratorium on insurance companies using the task force's guidelines for their reimbursement policies. That moratorium ends in early December of next year.
That's going to be very significant, because more lives will be lost and there'll be complications and a higher staging of cancers when they're found.
Guglielmino and Blunt are making plans to mobilize their constituents.
We can keep our constituents informed about the way these decisions are made on Capitol Hill and help them to understand what kind of influence they can have on the political process, and helping their legislators be aware that this is important to them. So for women that we work with who are in their 40s and who have been diagnosed with breast cancer, which is a significant number for us, we want them to share their stories, to share with their legislators how they learned about their breast cancer, whether mammography had an impact for them, whether they had delayed diagnoses, the cost of mammography for them, whether they would have been able to access those mammograms if they hadn't had insurance coverage. Those are all important stories that people need to share with their legislators.
What we and the coalition will do is next year circulate a petition to make sure that these guidelines don't become official, so that insurance reimbursement doesn't change. This will be on our website and the websites of a number of other organizations. Women should stay tuned and then sign on these petitions that will go to their state and to the National Congressmen and Women, so that as we have these conversations, their voices can be heard, so that we can try and give everything we have to prevent these guidelines from becoming official and being applied to black women and Latinas and low-income women who will be most hurt by them.
Last November, Dr. George Sledge, Jr. of IU's Simon Cancer Center, wrote in the Indianapolis Star, quote, "We live in an era where we have far more to offer women with breast cancer than ever before. Our ability to screen for breast cancer has gotten better than ever before. But we also live in an era in which one-third of women never have a mammogram," unquote.